listening to CITR 101.9 FM in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia.
Que comience la fiesta, comience la fiesta, comience la fiesta. Que comience la fiesta.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of La Fiesta. My name is G-Spot DJ, and I'm here in the house, believe it or not, with a famous guy. So, you know, we're going to really push it because, you know what, we don't have too much time. So I'm going to play the first song, and after that, we're going to go back to my special guest and interview him live right here on 101.9 FM CITR. Yes, this is the station for the weekend. So let me tell you, tonight is going to be a packed house because there's lots of stuff for you. And lots of conversation and great music provided by my guest. So here's the first song by our famous people here in Vancouver called Mazacote.
Los rumberos de mi tierra lo repitan con sabor. En la letra cualquier cosa, después que tenga sabor. Unos tragos de aguardiente y al cantar de corazón.
And that was Mazacote and their song called Ahora Sí, I believe that is it. Yes, Ahora Sí, right here on 101.9 FM CITR. My name is G-Spot DJ. Welcome to this famous rendition with a special guest. Let me tell you a little bit about the special guest first before I bring him on. So let me just extend the mic here a little bit so I can read this whole thing that I wrote down, because I wrote down this week, as a matter of fact. So let's get this back up here. All right. So tonight I have in studio with me, of course, he's probably an integral part of Vancouver's Latin and jazz scene for more than 10 years. He's a performer, a teacher, a writer, and a director for the city's best-loved groups. He's also known as British Columbia's leading percussionist and leader of the popular band called
Rumba Calzada.
Rumba Calzada. You got it. In studio I have here Rafael Jeronimo. So, hi, Rafael. How are you today?
I'm very good, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing well. So
awesome.
All right, here we go. Just have to adjust the levels a little bit. So we were talking a little bit before, and we got kind of a little bit chatty, but unfortunately we couldn't do too much. But here we are in studio, and now we can get a little more comfortable. All right, good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. Well, welcome. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to come and see us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, not a problem. I heard we were talking before, and the last time you were in CITR 101.9 FM, it was 1998.
I think it was, yeah.
That's like almost a quarter of a century ago or something. Like that.
That's a long time ago. I came several times. I had some friends doing a show like yours.
Okay,
I came,
great.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just talk a little bit about the band and your influence actually with the band. So the band actually started formed in 1991, is that correct?
Yeah, the band was started in 1991.
Okay, yeah, and was started by your father.
By my father, Boeing Geronimo,
okay,
who started the band. And we started off, we had like a four-piece band, mm-hmm, just doing Latin jazz covers. And we started playing at private parties and just small, really small events, only maybe three times a year, just very, really little, just a fun project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and obviously with the influence of your father, I guess that's what turned you on to music, or was it just something you decided to do?
Yeah, I actually really loved rock music and pop music when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And I started to appreciate like Rush and like Jimi Hendrix and all that, Rolling Stones. Yeah.
Okay. Really, really rock and metal. Yes.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I hated Latin music. I hated it. I was like, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. And then I think it was like 16 years old, I started to actually like playing guitar and mm-hmm drums. So I started forming a rock band. And my dad says, hey, you know, you're pretty good. That's not too bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take you to a show next month, and it's a surprise, and I want to take you. So he, about a week before, he said, well, here are the tickets. We're going to see Santana. A buddy of mine's playing in that band.
Oh, God. Because
he knew a lot of people.
Okay.
And so we went to see Santana, and he wanted to kind of convert me to, he knew that was rock and Latin.
Right, yeah.
So let's, and ever since then, it was like, I saw Santana live at the Orpheum.
Oh, God, yeah, because Carlos is a really, really good lead player. I mean,
yeah.
I love the guy. I mean, he's just awesome. So how did the band's music change somewhat since you've taken over?
Well, my dad had the band only for about about 4 years.
Okay.
So there wasn't a lot of creativity. Like he did a lot of cover songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did when I got the band, I said, I want to do original music. So I started writing original stuff, compositions and stuff like that, and writing with other band members. So I kind of shifted the mode to like, yeah, I want to do more festivals, play original music. And that's where I like it. That's what I like to do.
Good.
Yeah.
So where is your father originally from?
From Philippines.
From the Philippines.
Yeah, yeah, okay. From Manila. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, originally.
All right, good. Yeah. And so you first started to realize at what age that, you know what, I got to do this as a full-time gig.
Maybe I was about 18 or 19. I wasn't sure. I was always drawing and I wanted to be an artist. Like I my first job was an artist drawing caricatures, making them for Disney T-shirts and clothing.
Right.
So it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd be an artist, but I didn't know I'd be a drummer. So okay. It's really exciting. It's exciting.
Isn't it when we take one path and then it leads us to another?
Yeah.
So you studied music in Cuba, and you also studied in Havana, I think, right?
Yes. I studied in Cuba. I owe a lot to my dad, because he said, you know, he noticed at like 19, it's like I started getting serious. He says, you know, I want you to study with the source of the music, mm-hmm, and where people, like, there's some really good people that I know, and we just have to go there and you could study with them. So he said, okay, we're going to go to Cuba and we'll set this up. And then he knew some people in New York, and I was able to study in both places.
Oh my God, that must be like awesome to study in New York City.
Yeah,
because New York City is a hot city.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go there, it's just it really does never sleep. So
yeah. For me, it was like Eddie Palmieri one night.
Right.
Four nights later, Tito Puente, Oscar de Leon, and it another one. Like, I was like going to all these really great shows, okay, you know. Yeah.
Man, that must be really, really good. Yeah, so I believe it's your last CD, CD number 4, is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. We have the latest is called Album 4.
Album 4, okay.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's just simply entitled Rumba Calzada, right?
Yeah, Rumba Calzada, Album 4.
Album 4.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know what to call it.
Well, it's a great name. Why change it, right?
It's the fourth
Whatever
one.
Whatever works.
So, yeah, it's the fourth one. So I was like, oh, what the heck? The last one I called 3, and I was, you guys were saying, no, call it a name. And I was like, I don't know. Let's just call it 4.
Let's call it number 3. It's our third project. Why not?
Yeah.
Also, it's of what my understanding is, it's a combination of different elements, right?
Yes. So I wanted to use like different rhythms from different countries in South America and in Latin music. So I used one bomba, which is a rhythm from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
We have a guajira from Cuba. We have some cumbia there, Colombian stuff.
Right.
And then some rumba huahuanco and some and basic salsa. Like, that's the core of the music is Latin jazz and salsa.
Okay. So let's go here. I guess the first cut is this is number 4. So
actually, no, that's number 3.
That's number 3.
Number
3. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to play an extract from this CD number 3, and we'll play a song which is entitled called Mumba, or actually Mambo. What am I talking about? Mumba, jeez. Mambo 123, right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
We'll be right back.
That was great. That was Rafael here in the studio with me singing that great song, Mambo 234. So before the break, actually, we were talking with Rafael, of course, and I started to ask him, in terms of age groups, he told me that you have different age groups. Is that correct?
And
you know, you need to play music that really caters to all, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. I think doing Latin jazz is something that a lot of people can relate to and a lot of people like, because it has this Afro-Cuban element that people like to dance to, and then it also caters to the older generation who like jazz music.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually a lot of young people like it as well. Like, I have a lot of people that like it that are like 19, 20, you know, quite a lot of people that like Afro-Cuban music and this style of jazz.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great, refreshing sound. Mm-hmm. It's new. And even when it, you know, you get a lot of these, this older music that's redone, remixed, remastered.
Yeah.
I mean, the people of today, right, haven't heard that song before, right? To them, it's unknown. So when they hear it for the first time, it's like, wow, this is good.
Yeah.
And of course, somebody else goes, that song was done in 1922 or something like that, right? So it's kind of nice.
It's kind of nice. It offer a refreshing a refreshing version of it.
Right.
My father did a version of a song by Betcha by Golly Wow, it's called. I think it's by one of those Platters or something, one of those groups. And we did it in salsa when we were touring in the Philippines. And people liked it.
Yeah.
People liked it.
It's amazing. Yeah. So, of course, obviously, we just played an excerpt from volume number 3 or CD number 3.
Yes.
And, you know, I was just bending backwards here to go pick it up.
Yeah.
This was also nominated for an award, the West Coast Music Award, wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah, that was nominated in 2002 for the Western West Coast Music Award, and a few other nominations on that one
as well. Also, I heard Juno Award as well.
Yeah, we were lucky. We had a Juno nomination on that. And what was neat was the Canadian Independent Music Award. It was nominated for 3 in that. So we were lucky. We were able to get a lot of mileage out of that CD.
Oh, all right. Well, that's what you need. I mean, that must be a great feeling, right?
Oh, it feels really good. Super booster, you know. Okay. Yeah, really nice.
And you've done a few festivals in the past. You've done the Mini International Jazz Festival.
And
you've toured.
Yeah, we've toured. Miri is a place in Borneo. It's in the island of Borneo. It's part of Malaysia.
Okay.
And they changed the name just last year. Now it's called the Borneo Jazz Festival.
Okay.
And Miri's a small city about the size of Kelowna.
Oh. Geez.
And they have a huge music festival. Sponsored by their government, I guess.
That's great. Also, some of the performances you've also done, the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
You've done the Montreal Jazz Festival, which is as I mentioned to that. I am from Montreal, so I know that festival is just like.
It's really cool.
It's
amazing. It's an amazing festival.
Right.
What we did was. Who I played for on those was a gentleman named Oscar Lopez.
Yes,
and he's a quite an amazing flamenco guitar player.
Okay,
and I toured with him. It was like starting 2001 all the way into like 2010 for maybe like 98 for about 12 years. I've toured and played with him, and we had some great gigs with Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, Winnipeg Philharmonic, Windsor Symphony, Montreal Jazz Festival, and all the experience I got. From touring, I was able to use with Rumba Calzada.
Well, that's so good, because you played at the Vancouver Jazz Festival, did you not? The International Jazz Festival in Vancouver.
We're very lucky. We've been doing the Jazz Fest for many, many years. For the last 20 years, we've been getting a gig there. So.
All right. Yeah. And maybe you just want to highlight some of the key members of Rumba Calzada.
Yes, sure. So we have, I'll just start with our bass player. His name's Alan Johnston.
Okay.
And he's a very seasoned bass player, very traveled and great Latin and Latin jazz bass player, salsa. Okay. Rolando Prezas on the congas and vocals, mm-hmm. and sings most of our material. On the piano, we have Lou Mastriani, mm-hmm. and very traditional piano player. Nicholas Apiver's on the vibraphone, and he plays multi-instrumentalist. He plays campana, which is a cowbell. Mm-hmm. And on the horn, we have Rod Murray on the trombone. And occasionally with us, we have Miguelito Valdez from Cuba.
From Cuba, yeah.
And he's an amazing trumpet player, but he just moved to Victoria. So now I've got another gentleman named Toto Bariel, Israel Bariel, and he's a amazing singer as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, nice. And he's going to be singing with us on some of our upcoming summer concerts.
Okay, and one of the things that I found really, really neat is, especially, you know, when it's coming from the U.S. of A., and especially when it either comes from New York or Los Angeles, the Latin Beat magazine of Los Angeles wrote, yeah, guaranteed to move your feet and reach your soul.
Yes, yes. That was off our Generation CD when that was my first album. So looks like that there. But they reviewed it and gave us quite a nice review. So I was very happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, even the province wrote a world-class Latin band. And Descarga.com in New York wrote, this one stays in the CD player.
Yeah. They're referring to number three. Number three. Okay. Yeah, that's that one. It got the most mileage. We're really lucky. It got a lot of great reviews, a lot of nominations, and we were fortunate to have some solid material on that.
Okay, yeah, great. So maybe we should play a song from CD number four.
Yeah, the new one. Yes. Yeah. This one also got nominated for a West Coast Music Award.
Did it? Album. Okay. Yeah. And this one's entitled El Poro.
El Poro. Yes.
Okay. So let's hear El Poro right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Yes, it is refreshing to have a professional here in the studio with me today. Rafael, how are you? You still holding up?
Yes, sir. I'm holding up well. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah. Good. So we won't torture you too much longer.
Okay. Okay.
Really, what I wanted to do was mention to the fans.
Yes.
All the places that you're going to be coming at.
Yes.
You're going to be playing this coming summer.
Yes.
So in July you have the Edgemont Village.
Yep.
That's in July the 5th.
Yep.
July 7th, the Harrison Festival of Arts.
Yep.
That's in Harrison Hot Springs. July 14th, Party at the Pier.
Yes.
I will be there.
Yeah.
Guarantee.
North Vancouver in Lonsdale Key.
Absolutely. That seems hot. Yeah. In August at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Gardens.
Yes.
August 10th, the Harmony Arts Festival. The 11th, Ladner Village Market. The 25th, Nanaimo Blues Festival.
Yes.
September 22nd, Pender Harbor Jazz Festival.
Yeah.
And October 6th. Find it. Festival of the Grape.
Yes, in the Okanagan Valley.
In the Okanagan Valley. So if you want to drink some wine,
yeah,
that's the place to be,
that's
right?
The place to be. Wine. Excellent. And Latin music.
You just can't get any better than that. So I want to play one more excerpt from a CD. This is CD number 2, is that correct?
Yes, number 2.
Number 2.
Yeah.
The song is called Filipinas, which I will play just in a few moments.
Can I say hi to a friend?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hey. Hi, Nas. How are you?
Nas,
hello.
Hello. Is that short for anything?
Nazanin.
Nazanin, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Wink, wink. All right. So it was a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
Thank you very much,
Rafael. Thank you very much for taking time, you know, to come and speak with us and be on air. And also, fabulous job that you did on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Getting all these fans to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have some people listening right now.
I know.
My phone's been ringing, actually.
I know.
I have to shut it off.
You had to shut it off because they were asking, is he the special guest? Yes, for everybody, he is my special guest. This is not recorded. This is live.
Live, yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to play Filipinas.
Yeah.
And after that, hasta la vista. We'll say bye to Rafael. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. And then after that, we have a second interview with Oscar Nieto, a famous flamenco dancer.
Perdidos
Awesome, just awesome. I'm telling you, I really, really like that La Fiella. I just can't get over it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Now we're going to go on to our second interview, and this one is with Oscar Mieta. He's probably one of the best and most famous flamenco dancers here in Vancouver. He also, and I had one of the things is when I was interviewing him, I had just gone to the dentist and my teeth actually were just starting to, you know, calm down and stuff like that. But one of the things I had a hard time saying was videographer. And it sounds like videographer. Now, I retook a few times. So I managed to actually get it almost right the first time around. So anyways, let's go to the pre-recorded interview with Oscar Nieto right here on 101.9 FM and listened to that. Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is G-Spot DJ, and tonight I have with me the awesome flamenco dancer Oscar Nieto. He's actually been acclaimed as a dancer, a choreographer, an instructor, a singer, a videographer, and I probably forgot something, but LA Times dubbed him as the Fred Astaire of flamenco. Oscar, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, the Fred Astaire flamenco, there's a little story to that. When I was performing, my Achilles tendon was inflamed, and I could barely make it through the rehearsal, and I didn't know how I was going to make it through the performance. And lo and behold, the next day I read the LA Times, and there it is, the Fred Astaire flamenco, how things happen.
So from an injury to a great accomplishment.
Yeah, maybe because I wasn't trying as hard, or I couldn't, but that's the story behind the Fred Astaire flamenco. It's my pleasure to be here.
Great. So I took a little bit of research, and I went to YouTube, and actually, you know, I saw you dancing. And actually, I was amazed because you were dancing as if it was just naturally. And it kind of reminded me a little bit about tap dance, a little bit about river dance, but it's not. It's flamenco.
Yes, flamenco is very unique in its presentation. And there is crossover from tap dance. More and more these days, there's a fusion of ballet and modern and jazz. The young choreographers are using even hip-hop and popping and so forth. So it's an art form that takes from all different art form and dance forms.
So you were born in Texas, raised in L.A., and you began to dance at the age of 8 with Latin dance. Is that correct?
Yes. My sisters used to dance Latin dance at home, and I liked it. And I asked them to teach me, and they said, sure. So that's where I got my first taste for dance. And then around the age of 14, I started taking classes at the local park. And I was fortunate because the classes were free. So my family, being poor, was able to afford the free classes. And that's how the whole thing started.
Great. So how did you get your start in flamenco? Because I know that you've, like I said, you started in Latin dance and you've done a lot of other things in your career. And then all of a sudden now, flamenco.
Well, flamenco, if I look back on it, was really it was really about the song, the singing that attracted me. I didn't realize it at the time, however. But when I started taking dances at the local park, they introduced us to Mexican folk dance, Mexican regional dance, Spanish regional and classical dance. And then eventually they introduced us to flamenco with records, recordings. And that's what kind of grabbed my attention. It was also the rhythm that I found fascinating.
Okay, good. So if I can ask you, where did flamenco originally originate from?
Well, the story goes that flamenco originated in the southernmost region of Spain, Andalusia, and it is a melding of several different cultures, the Muslim, the Hebrew, Sephardic, the Gypsy culture, and I like to say also the Spanish Christian culture because it was born in Spain. And those four components are the crux of flamenco.
Okay. So as you mentioned, it's really a combination of different styles of dances all combined into one. Great. Something I noticed here, 2005, and I see you smiling. Yes, you actually were awarded the Jacqueline Lemieux Prize from Canada's Council for the Arts. And somebody actually quoted as, Oscar Nieto still puts the stage on fire when he performs, and he never ceases to innovate and challenge himself.
That was one of the high points of my career. I could have retired after that because I was the first flamenco dancer in the 25 years that the prize has been awarded to receive the award. Mm-hmm. So it's very prestigious, and to be awarded a national award like that was really wonderful, and especially because it came from my peers in the dance community of Canada.
Excellent. I need to ask you, Oscar, are there many diehards in Vancouver, or flamenco diehards in Vancouver?
Oh, yes. I call them affectionately call them the flamenco junkies. They start out with one class and then two classes and then three classes a week. And it's life transforming. We're talking about women now. When women show up with a black skirt, that's a sign that they're headed in that direction. Mm-hmm. Then they show up with the shoes and then with the flower in their hair. By the time they get the flower in their hair, you know you've got them. And they're hooked for life, probably.
What about the men? I mean, do you get a lot of men in your classes?
Unfortunately, we don't get a lot of men, but that's endemic in the dance world. Usually, you're going to have a class of, let's say, 20, 25 women and maybe two guys. It's just the way it is in the world. But that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of very good and very fine flamenco dancers that we are bringing to Vancouver for our upcoming production.
Okay. So, as I can see, flamenco is kind of a solo dance. But you were telling me that, no, people do dance in a couple, but it's just not like some of the other dances where one leads the other. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's not like Argentine tango where the man leads the woman and the woman follows. In flamenco, a couple can be dancing together, but it's almost like a dual solo. And it can also be choreographed on large numbers of people, but primarily it can be a solo dance form.
So more like a freestyle. Both are freestyling, but yet they're really coordinated because they're dancing together.
That's correct. And when you say freestyling, there's a lot of interpretation and improvisation in flamenco. However, in the last 15, 20 years, there's more choreographed, tightly choreographed dancing or dances. That's just the way the form is evolving.
Okay. So if somebody wants to practice flamenco, where do they go?
They can come to our school, Al Mosaico Flamenco Dance Academy at 828 East Hastings, and they can find us on the web at vancouverflamenco.com or flamencovancouver.com.
Let me ask you a question, which I really don't even have here. You were originally from the United States, and you grew up in L.A., and I know L.A. because my brother just lives outside of L.A., and when I go there, I just like, yes! Mm-hmm. But yet you're teaching here in Vancouver. So what do you find are the differences? Do you find that there's more people here or more people in LA? And obviously the population is bigger in the States. So how do you attribute that?
Well, I'd like to think that I was partly responsible for that because when I came in 1983 on a holiday, okay, and I'm still here, there wasn't very much flamenco to speak of. And since that time, there are several schools that have opened up. And our school is one of the main schools that contributes to that growth. At that time, maybe there were 10, maximum 20 students taking. Now there are hundreds of people who have come through our doors, and it continues to grow.
Okay. So one of the questions I have for you is, when you choreograph something, do you start with the music? Do you start with the dance? Do you start with both? How do you do this? Because I know that you have a certain way, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But how do you start? How do you put that concept together?
Well, my approach is that I need the music before I can start choreographing. Some choreographers can start with a blank slate, no music. It's in their head, or the ideas, the choreographic ideas are in their heads. For me, I prefer to listen to the music, and then that sparks ideas in terms of how my feet will move, how my body will move. In fact, I just finished choreographing one of the pieces that we're going to be doing soon. And the musician composed or arranged this particular cut, Anda Jaleo. I listened to it over and over and over and over, and then I got it into the studio, and my body just started kind of mimicking the rhythms that were on the track, and that's how I choreograph.
Okay. So if we take a starter student, so somebody comes into your class, says, Oscar, I want to learn how to dance flamenco. To the time that they're actually ready to perform, how long would you say it takes for them to do that?
Well, on average, it takes at least 5-6 months, maybe 12 months. Of course, it depends on the student and how dedicated they are. But when they first come to us, we introduce them first to the rhythms, because that's the essential part of flamenco. It's very dense rhythmically. Jazz is very dense harmonically, but flamenco is very dense rhythmically. So they have to have a fundamental understanding of the rhythms. And the first thing we teach them, or I teach them, is this thing called palmas, or the clapping. We show them, we count it out for them, then I play music for them. And then eventually we start them out with basic, very basic steps, and then slowly we introduce them to the concept of the singing, the cante, because flamenco is actually based around the song forms. Then the dance evolved out of that, and then the music evolved. So first we introduce them to the rhythms.
So I see that you launched your career with Antonio Garis, and you also were with Lola Montes, which I believe you're doing a documentary. And you're also writing a book on flamenco. Can you just comment on those two?
Yes, I started writing or working on Lola's documentary in 2002 after I had come back from Spain from doing research on the development and what I call the evolution and revolution in flamenco dance. And I realized that in Lola, there was a great repository of history and information about the evolution and the history of flamenco. And it's been a fascinating journey. I've been working on it for 12 years, and there have been things in between the 10 years or 12 years that have prohibited me from finishing the project. But I do intend to finish it just to honor her. And the book on flamenco is kind of a question and answer. One of my friends who was a writer would ask me questions when he was living with me. What is flamenco? And then I would answer him. So I kind of did it around that Q&A process for writing the book. It's more about how flamenco is and why it's this way and so forth.
Oscar, do you ever think you're going to write a book about yourself and your life and your passage of flamenco?
Yes, I kiddingly call it my unauthorized autobiography. That way I can deny everything.
I've also learned that you created a special teaching method called CAL, Cognitive Awareness Learning. Can you comment on that?
Yes, that came about from a process of teaching for 45 plus years, and my observation that people learn, people have different ways of learning. Some people are more left brain dominant, analytical. Some are more right brain dominant. They see pictures as a whole. Other people are more auditory by nature. Others more visual, some are more kinesthetic, and I believe we move from modality to modality depending on how we're learning. For example, some people like me to count things out, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Some people that confuses them. So I use onomatopoeia with sound elements, tati, tati, kata, tata, tati, tati, tata, kata, ta. That makes more sense to people. Other people just want me to show them the step. Don't count it for me, just show me the step. So through this process, I were able to enhance people's grasp of the material, and it creates less frustration for the person studying, because they can ask me the question directly depending on their needs. In fact, I had one woman who was a student who was dyslexic. Looking in the mirror, as we usually do when we teach dance, confused her. So she would stand to my right, facing me at my side and away from the mirror, and that's the way she could learn. So I've learned through teaching that there are different ways that people learn, and this just makes it more accessible for people.
Okay. There's one comment here that I have called, flamenco is an art form that attracts many people because of its intensity, sensuality, and capacity to express raw human emotion. What does that mean?
Raw human emotion. The singing is, we call it a cante, which is kind of refers to the chant. And it is associated with a call to God, if you will. The I that you hear a lot in singing, it's kind of like a blues or soul. People think that blues is about wallowing in your misery. Actually, it's about exorcising the demons, and flamenco is the same way, through the singing and through the emotion that is injected. And in flamenco, you're able to exorcise those demons, whether it's pain, it's love, it's loss, or any emotion that a person feels. And I've seen it transform people's lives that were on a path for business, for example, and they found flamenco and it changed their lives. They left their career and they became enamored with flamenco, and a new path emerged for them.
Right. Okay. It seems you've done a lot of things in your career. If there's one more thing that you wanted to do, what would that be?
Well, currently I'm moving more into a mentorship phase of my life, where I'm mentoring younger dancers and artists. In this upcoming production, it's the first time that I don't dance myself in our productions, but rather I am the artistic director. And that's a choice I made because that's just my personal journey. Certainly older people are very much respected in flamenco, like tap dance. A person can dance until they're 70, 80 even, and they're still highly regarded. The young people have all these pyrotechnical skills, amazing dancers and so forth. But the older artists, they use the word peso, which means weight. The older artist has more gravitas through life experience and so forth. So we are highly respected and acclaimed. But personally, I've had such a wonderful journey already in my dance career. And I've had some health issues, which inhibit some of my physical abilities. I have neuropathy in my feet from chemotherapy. I had a bout with cancer about 5 years ago. So that has left a few things in my body. And so then I go, well, what do you have left? Well, people still want me to teach. People still want me to choreograph. I sing. I teach singing. I teach dance. I teach all kinds of different people how to learn. So there, I have a lot of other dimensions to my career.
Great. So we're going to talk about May the 3rd and 4th, Norman Rostein Theater Dance. You are the artistic director. Can you tell us a little bit more about what we can expect to see there?
This is a very unique production. It's titled El Café de Chinitas, which is the Chinese Cafe, and it comes from a famous poem that was written by Federico García Lorca. And my associate and producer, Cassandra Lee, Cassandra La China, had an idea to fuse flamenco music, flamenco guitar music, with Asian instrumentation and Asian music. And so we have the Orchid Ensemble, who is collaborating with Gaspar Rodriguez, our musical director and guitarist from Spain, creating new music. And it's a juxtaposition of different cultures and using flamenco as its core, but introducing different elements to flamenco, which has always been part of the mandate of my company, Mosaico Flamenco, Mosaico meaning mosaic, to bring in different elements of other music, other dance forms into flamenco. In fact, on YouTube, one of the pieces you may have seen, I do a piece which I call Buto Flamenco, which is using Japanese dance form Buto and flamenco, and stripping flamenco down to its barest essentials and presenting that. So this production follows on that pathway of fusing different elements. And we have some wonderful guest artists from Spain, Gaspar Rodriguez, Ricardo Lopez, and Emilio Ochando, who will be some of our main dancers.
Okay. So for tickets, www.vancouverflamenco.com or www.flamencovancouver.com. Once again, Oscar, what about your school?
Our school caters to all ages, all ethnicities. We have children's class, we have adult class, beginner class, intro class, advanced choreographic classes. And it's wonderful to see the cross-section of people that come to our school. That's one of the things about flamenco. It attracts all different people from all walks of life. As I told an audience member recently, flamenco does not belong only to the gypsies or to Spaniards. Flamenco belongs to the world. In fact, in Tokyo, Japan, there are more flamenco schools or academies than there are in Madrid, Spain. That's saying a lot about flamenco. And you can find flamenco in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, in France, in Germany, in Italy, in Norway, all over the world. So that kind of reflects our school, that anybody can participate and at any age.
Oscar, thank you very much for coming in. I wish you the best of luck and good luck to you on your May 3rd and 4th show. And come and see us another time.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada. We'll be right back.